Let's go into Studio A right now and pray for Brain.
Ditty called Miss Popularity.
Thank you.
This is a little mysterious heavy metal Punjabi number that we call Trout Handy.
With Christina Nelson and Jefferson Voorhees, Mustafa Stefan Dill is Pray for Brain, and we're hearing some new material and some new recordings of some older material from this trio, and we have Mustafa Stefan Dil with us just to take a break from the performance. We're going to play a little mind game here. I'm going to pretend that I'm looking at the acts you were playing in Studio A, and here's the sound of my jaw dropping, like right here. How did this double-barreled oud guitar thing come into existence?
Well, you know, it's been in my brain for quite some time. Just looking at the kind of material that we did and that we do, to you know, there's a lot of oud and Middle Eastern influences in our work, and it got to the point where it was kind of unwieldy to negotiate both instruments in a live setting. I only had an acoustic oud, which meant like if you wanted to change instruments in the middle of a song, you'd actually have to put one down, pick the other one up, and deal with the microphone and all of that. And I thought this would be a really good idea to be able to have an oud and a guitar in one fell swoop, in one instrument where I could really kind of navigate seamlessly between mm-hmm. both textures and see what that could bring about. So I did some research and found that there were a couple of Middle Eastern manufacturers of such a configuration. They didn't look to be of really, you know, super, super good quality of kind of what I wanted. So I ended up finding this guitar company called Gretsch, and they make a baritone / regular double neck guitar.
Electric.
Yes, electric. With a
what's it called? The bar?
The Bigsby.
Okay, you know, yeah.
And I found it for very cheap because the baritone neck was damaged. So I got it for kind of like below wholesale price. And I thought, well, this is what we'll do. We'll take the baritone neck off completely. We'll have an oud neck made, and we'll just start reconstructing the thing from top to bottom. And I found, and I talked to some luthiers around. Nobody except one person in the country would touch it, the project, because they just said it was crazy. And I found this very gifted father and son team out of Chicago that was willing to take it on. And he just rabbit-holed on it. I sent him the parts, and he said, oh, this is great. Let's take the top off. He found a beautiful maple top to replace it with. The only thing that's original on that guitar is probably the back of it and the guitar neck. Everything else, he rebuilt top to bottom. The pickups, the electronics for both the oud and the guitar. The oud neck was made in Israel. I took pictures of the dimensions of the neck joint and the socket, and you know, very high-res pictures with a micrometer ruler, and so he built it to spec. So that sent back from Israel to me, and then I send that to Chicago, and he fit everything and put it all together. It's been a project probably about 3 or 4 years in the making, off and on, mm-hmm. depending upon my finances and their schedule, and you know, eventually it all came together. So,
well, this is one more reason to see Pray for Brain, but now I have to ask, listening to the music of this trio, why do you need it? Because you were making music that was shifting traditions before you even had the option of a double neck guitar. So this was in your head, even though you didn't really have the tools to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's been in my head for a while because we do like acoustic oud pieces, and we had some pieces in the repertoire that were just strictly oud based. But again, it was so problematic to do live because the band is loud. You know, Jefferson's a very powerful drummer, and Christine, you know, really provides a strong low end on the bass. So volume-wise and amplifying an acoustic oud in that context was a little problematic. And so I thought this just all the way around, you know, is really going to be what we need to do. And what's been interesting about it is once I had it, I was able to go back to repertoire that never had the oud before and start incorporating that. As a matter of fact, I think one of the older tunes we did on soundcheck for this show never had an oud, never was conceived to have the oud before it, but it just laid out so perfectly. And I thought, okay, let's go with that. So it's been interesting to revisit some of the existing repertoire and seeing how that can mm-hmm. fit in.
Now, yeah. One of the sort of things that's marked this band is the shifting of styles, and how what is exotic to one listener is down home to another. And then you go to a different place and the down home is the exotic to the first person. And it's almost like you or the band are, you know, maybe you're praying for brain, but you're also switching hats in the middle of a song, you know, from one tradition to another. What is this pure intuition that you're going to go from bluegrass or surf into the desert or into another tradition?
It really is. And I think it's a product of, you know, where all of us are at and where we're from. You know, my background is my mother's Mexican, and I have a number of Lebanese, Syrian relatives on that side of the family through marriage, but it's a part of that culture and upbringing that I connected with. So that's a part of it. And also there's some, you know, flamenco from my background as well. And then I kind of immersed into the Indian music as well. But I also, you know, I'm an American kid. You know, I cut my teeth on Led Zeppelin and Deep Purple and then got into free jazz. So it all comes out in the mix. And so it's not really a conscious decision to switch. It's just, for us, it's all like very organic. It's everything that we've listened to, everything that we've grown up with and that we've heard. And it just, this is how it comes out, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we in that sense, I like that because we're authentic to ourselves. We're not trying to be like a world music band, you know. We're not trying, because that I think does a disservice both to your own tradition and whatever tradition that is, to try and copy it in a way that maybe you can't be quite as authentic with. So, like, so I'm unapologetic about mixing, you know, Indian ragas and Arabic maqams with, you know, rock and roll scales and distortion and feedback. And, you know, it's all, why not? You know, that's well, who I am, you know.
Well, you've said that some of the because of the texture of this music, you do have an international listenership based on that first album. But you've said that you've gotten feedback from overseas people saying that this is the American band. This is the American sound.
Yes, somebody told me, said this is the most American music they can think of because it represents that sort of American cultural diversity and melting pot and that whole history of so many people coming to this country, you know. And so, yeah, so it is very much, I think, an American product, which is kind of interesting in a way.
Now, we caught up with you right after you kind of set the outpost on fire just before the jazz festival really got going. And you have some other projects on the way, but there is also, we get to hear a sneak preview of some new compositions and also some older stuff that wasn't even on the first album that maybe with the new instrumentation and stuff might come out very different. Where are you in that process?
We've pretty much finished all the writing to varying degrees. There's some stuff that needs to be like kind of fine-tuned and rehearsed. There's some very ambitious writing. There's some stuff that we've bitten off a lot. There's a couple of tunes that we didn't do here because we knew we didn't have it quite together. So there's some stuff that we still need to kind of fine-tune and hone. But all of the writing is pretty much done. And we've looked at the list with everything that we didn't get around to releasing on the first CD and everything that we've written since. And it's a long list. So we may still have some overflow for a third CD down the road. But, you know, it's an ambitious project, probably 13, 14 songs I've wrote down that we haven't tracked. And of course, you know, we'll have to decide, okay, which one is really strong, which one is the best, which ones do we want to focus on.
And a lot of these are not going to be served by 3 minutes because you often use sort of a variation on a lap sort of to open.
Yeah.
So you don't want to lose that quality.
Right. Yeah. So, and a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, what we feel strongly about, what we want to really, you know, showcase and represent. And it also could be something to the extent of maybe this isn't a tune that we had originally scheduled, but we might just track it and see if the performance is good. And my interest when I put together, you know, the album and the layout, I mean, everybody participates, but kind of the whole assembly sort of falls on me as quasi-producer, as I really look for the most magical moments, you know, what is really the best performance, you know, where are we talking to each other the best, what is those magical improvisational moments where it sounds like it's through composed, but it was actually improvised, you know, all that telepathic stuff that I think we're good at. So those are the moments that I look for, and that may occur in a tune that we're not necessarily thinking about focusing to put on the CD. So we'll just kind of see how it all lays down.
One of your guidances to Ethan Stein, who recorded this session that we're hearing tonight, was everything in the forefront.
Yeah. There's a great Joke, I didn't even remember this band, Deep Purple. They have their classic album, Smoke on the Water, which actually lays out very well on the Oud. but there's a line that Ian Gillan says on the Made in Japan album, where he says, it asks for a little bit more level in the monitor. He says, can I have everything louder than everything else? And it's very much like that, because I think what some people approach is, say, okay, it's a trio, it's an upright bass, drums, guitar. They automatically relegate the drums and the bass to a quote-unquote rhythm section. But the way this band talks, it's such a triangular basis of conversation that everybody has an equal voice. So that's usually, so that my guidance to Ethan is like, make sure everybody has an equal space in that stage. It's not leveled. It's not any one voice that overtakes the other. It's all on that equal plane.
And also, we're not able to see the drum kit that Jefferson Voorhees has sort of pioneered, but these are tuned drums. These are all. They feel like hand drums. They sound like hand drums, even though he's using sticks for them.
Yeah. No, and it's interesting because he will actually, you know, we have guitar tuners on our phone apps and whatnot, and he has very specific pitches that he tunes it to. And so just as, you know, we tune the guitar or the bass before we go on, he will tune his drums and make sure. And it's something that when I first heard him 15, 20 years ago, you know, I've been playing about 12 or 15 years. But when I saw like how he tuned his kit and what a musical approach that was to drumming, I said, this is something to work with, you know. And so he's so musically cognizant in that way. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Pray for Brain is going to be part of a community event in the Nob Hill area on August 6th.
So I've been told. We reached out to the Smiths here at Yale, and Cole is fabulous. Everybody here in this student neighborhood probably knows it. And my understanding is that they're going to have a block party on August 6th, all day, Saturday. And we reached out to them, and we heard it and said, oh, you know, we're all in the neighborhood. We all walk to the store on a daily basis. We'd love to participate. And they said, sure. So I'm supposed to hear back in the next day or two what the actual schedule and lineup is, but I'm not sure when that'll be. But yeah, it should be fun. So
You've been listening to Pray for Brain. Pray for Brain, recorded live in our own Studio A. The band are Jefferson Voorhees on drums, tune drums, and percussion. Christine Nelson on electric upright bass. And Mustafa Stefan Dill on, for this performance, double neck electric oud guitar.